week six. We talked about the scheduling tool, Maximalspy, and the 24-month calendar. Anything from that week that we should continue to discuss, or what's on your mind?
No, we're good. Now, you talking about week six, Rob?
Yeah. If I'm on track, I'm on week seven this week. Is that correct?
Actually, yeah, in the email it says week 11 assignment checklist.
Yeah, I got week 11, and then I actually got one from Lisa talking about week 12.
What?
What?
Yeah, yeah.
we've been lollygagging. You want? Hey, listen, I'll go back to week six. Let's do it.
What?
You're in charge.
No, I know, because I was like, wait a minute, 10:21 was the last notes I had. What have I been taking? My notes in some other place or something? No, no.
Yeah, the last one was 11:11, the call before this.
Was 11:11. What was the one before that? We got a 10:21, is that correct?
11:04. 11:11 and then 11:04 before that.
Wait a minute.
I had 11:18. So you're not 11:18. 11:18 was our last call.
Oh, here we go.
Talking about failure points.
There you go.
Segment planning.
I flipped my notes around. This is so weird.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That one had been pushed back. That's right, Derek. You're right.
Yeah, we talked about wrapping up the program, organization.
So week 11:11 was week what?
11:11 would have been week
9.
That said, it said week. It says Supernova week 11 call 11:11, and the assignment was week 10.
All right, one was, two was 9:02, three was 9:14, four was 9:21, five was 9:30, six was 10:07, seven was 10:28, 11, eight was 11:04, and nine was 11:11. Is my math wrong? Did I have something weird go on? I don't know.
We had on, 11:11. Accountability, facing the truth, fear, what's made up fear, what's real fear.
Facing the truth, get an accountability coach, right. That was the last one, right?
That was 11:11, but no, we did a call last, no, we did not do a call on the 18th, right? We got pushed to the 23rd.
Right.
That's it.
So the last one was.
I took notes from your video. That's why I have 11:18, and then we moved it to the 23rd.
So I got I got this as week 10. Am I wrong?
The last call, Rob, was 11:11.
Yes.
Right. And I had that as week 9. So we're doing pretty good considering I'm on a different week than you are every week.
No, this is great. just drinking from a fire hose for me. Yeah, I love it.
According to what I'm, we got two more weeks. According to you, this is like the last week, right?
I like according to you.
Yeah. Well,
you know why? I'll tell you why. Because Lori, when she sent it out, Derek, I bet, because we skipped last week, she might have gone right into the thinking it was the last week of the training, but we skipped a week. So you probably have to let Lori know to schedule one more on a weekly basis before you go to monthly.
Yeah, but according to me, I got this one plus two more. So anyway.
I think Derek will take it. Derek will take two of those.
Right. You get two freebies here. Okay. So yeah, what's on your mind? What have you been doing? What are you thinking?
I know everything was good. I had a very, I feel like there were some more aha moments last week for me, you know, the getting some good traction. I'm telling the stories over and over again, you know, but we're doing more planning, solid planning, and getting good results with clients. So, and then I've had some of the, you know, first monthly meetings. I did hosted my first Zoom call, you know, with a client where it was fully interactive, sharing the screen. It was fantastic, really good stuff. So I was very pleased with last week, the way it came out, because I've had, you know, ups and downs through this, but last week was a good week, and I was looking forward to getting in here this week.
Awesome. What, center of influence development, anything on the acquisition side? Niches, center of influence, any progress?
I would say not any different from the week before. Okay. You know, we've still got that. Yeah. Let my mind dwell on it for a second and I'll tell you that, but no active developments that I can think of.
Okay. Well, one of the, and not to dwell on this concept, but the I get asked more than anything, help me grow, get me organized, keep me organized. Andy, this is good for you. This is important. Get me organized and keep me organized. And then help me to grow, keep me growing. And what I've found over the years is that the key element is just what we talked about, and just, it can't be reinforced enough. The key element of success here is accountability. And the reason get me organized and keep me organized, the reason we stay organized is because we got a bilateral contract with our assistant that if she does the work, organizes the phone calls, helps create the agenda, sends it out, that I'm going to do it. I'm going to be on the phone talking to my clients and then I will do the executive summary. That's a bilateral contract. You're not going to violate that because she puts in the work or he puts in the work and then we follow through. And it's really, you know, it's passing the ball. You got the ball. I got the ball. I'm giving the ball back to you. So it's a real, you know, it's a tight. And so when people say, well, do people keep doing Supernova? The answer is, of course they do, as long as they have an assistant that is ritualized in the sense that they are consistently doing what they're supposed to be doing. So the leader needs to just make sure that the assistant does their job. Now, how do you get that to be as tight on acquisition as it is on servicing our existing clients? We know if we don't service our existing clients, intuitively we'll lose them. And then we'll lose the account, we'll lose the money, we'll get fired, we'll be under a bridge starving to death. Okay, so we don't, that's Larry Wilson's awfulizing. taking it to the extreme. So we're like paranoid about that. So we really fall in love with the 1242 because it's going to keep us from starving to death. The part about growing is sort of a, it can be a virtual circle or it can be a black pit. Okay. And the difference is simply engaging your assistant in exactly the same way you do as if these prospects are clients. And that, that creates, so your centers of influence and your niches need to be as important scheduled on the, on your scheduler as if they are clients. So they get 12, so just put them in there as a 1242. So you got your mastermind group as a 1242. You got your two niches as a 1242. You've got your six centers of influence as a 1242. And you put them in there and they're locked in. And whether you do anything with the folder when it's given to you, that's up to you. But you block out the time as if it's a regular hour client call. And what happens is you can do whatever you want to keep yourself motivated to move forward. You can call the center of influence during that time. You can meet with the center of influence. You can think about the center of influence. You can meet with your assistant and talk about it. You know, you don't have a partner, so you can't really do that. But you need to spend the time thinking about that center of influence or that niche and the center of influence inside that niche. If you do that consistently over time, you will grow. It's impossible not to, because you're not going to waste time. So when the trainer shows up, it's impossible to, it, you can be a slug that day and that's okay. But you're not going to be a slug every day. So when the trainer shows up, which is your 1242, you're going to, some days you're going to be brilliant. And those are the days where you get your breakthroughs. But the key is to just do it. And no matter what, no matter what, never cancel those. No matter how stressed out, no matter how crazy your day, just pretend they're clients and you have to make the call. And that's the difference. And that's what the good guys do that grow. And the bad guys, not that they're bad, they're just, they don't grow. The non-growing guys don't do that. The growing people consider growth equally as important as keeping their clients. The non-growing teams consider it a luxury that if they have the time, they'll work on it. And I think we've talked about this, Andy, before, is that when we work with people that are dependent on new business, life insurance salesmen, annuity salesmen, they are magnificent at this, because their income depends in their life. They will, if they don't do that, they'll be under a bridge, and they act like it. I mean, they treat that pipeline as if it is sacred, and they may be terrible at 1242, which they usually are, but they're great at the pipeline. And what we want is a balance between the two. We're great at 1242. We're great at financial planning. We're great at servicing clients and getting more money from them. Where we stink is in acquisition. And not because we're bad at it, just because we don't do it. So you build your pipeline, you meet with your assistant about the pipeline, and you look at your pipeline every single day. Now, there's certain things you look at every day, money coming due and things like that. You just increase that to have it include prospects. And just keep looking at that and moving them down the pipeline. And if you do it, you'll do it. And then meet with your centers of influence and practice your skills, practice your scripts, and get better at it. Now, Curtis and I had a call with Wells Fargo, and I've been thinking about it ever since we had it. And I bring it up because we made a big mistake, okay? And you might be doing this, thinking about doing this with somebody, a PWM or private wealth person or a 401k specialist or somebody else, that you're going to make a call on an important prospect and you're going to just do it, okay? And that's what we did wrong. Curtis and I have known each other for years, worked together for years, and don't expect each other to do something out of the norm. And what happened was, Curtis and I came from different places. I mentioned this, I think, to Andy, and we just come from different attitudes about how do you close a prospect. And you know, I come from, hey, look, we got some time for you, but it's limited. I can put you in a couple of slots on Monday for your team if you want us. And Curtis comes, we'll do anything for you. You tell us what you want and we'll customize a plan for you. And I'm like, and so we're on there and I'm really trying to tighten them up and trying to teach that, you know, get them to tell me what they want and how we can fit into their plan. And Curtis is trying to figure out how we can fit into their plan, but to change our whole, we can't come up with a new 12-week strategy for one company.
Right.
You can't do that. And they don't know that. See, they think that that's possible. And when somebody tells them it's possible, then that's what they want, something customized for them, specific. And it's not all of Supernova. It's just a little bit of Supernova. Oh yeah, we can do that. And I'm like, I'm going to kill myself on this call. Okay. Right now I'm going to shoot myself. Keep the 38 away from me. And so I got mad and he called and said, hey, that went great. And I said, no, it didn't. It was terrible. Okay. And blah, 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 blah. So he shouldn't have called me, but we're partners and you know, you'll do this from time to time. So what I'm going to call him back and tell him is, look, Curtis, we're never getting on a call again with a prospect without scripting the call. Okay. We were freaking amateurs. And that was ridiculous because neither one of us knew what the other guy was going to say. And so I use that as an example because, look, how many years I've been doing this for 48 years and I got it wrong. Okay. So everybody's going to get it wrong. The question is, are you going to accept that or are you going to fix it and make it better? So when you think about it, scripted, if you're going to get a Zoom introduction with the prospect, script it with the person that's going to introduce you. And tell them what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Okay. We're going to do a Zoom introduction. With your permission, we're going to do a Zoom introduction. And then you tell them how that's going to go. Okay. So you're going to say hello, introduce me, and then I'm going to say I'm going to say a few things about me. You say a few nice things about me. And then you quietly step off the call, hit the leave button, not the terminate button. Okay. Yeah. And then you leave and he and I'll get to know each other. If you don't do that, you have no idea what's going to happen on that call. Even though you have common sense. Curtis and I have common sense, but he wants to make the sale and I want to fit them into my life. Okay. Yeah. I don't care if I make the sale. I'd like to. Okay. But they're going to be more attracted to me if I'm not as eager, okay, they're going to want me, the more I kind of push away and go, you know, not sure we're going to be able to get this in, you know, we're going to try. And they're like, what? Well, we're pretty well maxed out right now, but we, you know, we'll work with you. When do you want to get this done? You know, soon. Oh, okay. And then they're like jumping through the screen. See?
You just described my 18-year-old's dating life. Thank you. That's what we tried to explain to him. My 18-year-old's dating life, you know.
Yeah.
You get a little girl, you get a little prospect, and you get so focused.
Oh, a little prospect.
Back off. You know, you got to.
No, no. It's the same thing. Go it's up confidence. Thing, yeah. You know, I used to go, my brother was always kind of shy. He was a big, handsome guy and very shy. And I would go up, we'd be in a bar and I'd go up to the girls. I go, could you help us? She'd go, what? I said, my brother and I are in an argument. Would you settle this? Who do you think is the most handsome? They'd fall over laughing. We'd get in a big conversation. That'd be it.
Right.
You know, we're just stupid and cocky and thought we, you know, and that's the way you, that's the way you do it. I always thought if somebody could visually see me, they would do business with me. And so I loved going, I cold called every Tuesday from 7 years. I cold called, bang, 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 bang. Hi, I'm Ron. And I opened an account every single day I went out. I opened more accounts than anybody else in my office, won the new account contest all the time. And that was it. Now, I might not have done it that day, but I got their card. I gave them my card. And that's all I ever did.
Yeah.
And they said, you're from Merrill Lynch. We've never had anybody. I'd say, well, you know, everybody should have a relationship with Merrill Lynch. You know, you need to know what we're talking about, what we're saying. Go, yeah, that probably makes sense. And I said, you're in my territory. I'm assigned to you. So you might as well have a relationship. I'm going to take care of you whether you like it or not.
That's a great approach.
Well, my brother sold for Dictaphone. And it was his territory. Everybody in it was his. Mm-hmm. He'd go to see him and say, you know, you want to buy a Dictaphone? No. Well, I'll be back next quarter, see if you want them. I'd do the same thing. Stop in, bang, bang, bang. You again. Most persistent guy. I said, well, I just want to say hello, see how the business was. He's like, come on in. Boom, open an account. So it's just your attitude about your expectation of what will happen. You know, you expect good things to happen, they're going to happen. You expect bad things to happen? Well, you probably get that too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that was good. We have started talking with our centers of influence. How do we actually, you know, do this? So that's good. On the introductions, to not just give a name to.
Oh, no.
So we did that after you started talking. So I've talked with some others. And we're thinking about adding a couple people to this group. In fact, I did have lunch with one of them last week. But yeah, that's good.
Go ahead and do it, Derek. Just do it, because you can unwind it by just saying, look, you know, this is only going to be for 3 months. Just an experiment. Let's just do it for 3 months, and then we'll terminate it. And anybody that's interested can re-sign up. Because people don't want to sign up for something for years, you know, they just, oh, it just upsets them. Am I going to like this guy? Is it going to work out? And so for 3 months, you can stand anybody. Mm-hmm. And so you have it, you know, have a call every 2 weeks or have a call every month. I have a little stock group, and I tell you what, I look forward to it Friday. I've been skipping golf in order to be with my stock group.
Really?
That's how weird it is. Yeah, I just have a good time with them. They're a riot. you know, and we just, and we're friends, you know, we don't get to see each other. So this is, it's terrific fun. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you, I mean, it's not hard to make these things fun, but, yeah. And then we have our group that we've got our little diversity project going on, which, oh, anyway, I got a great diversity story. We, in 1988, we started something called ShareBuilder, where we took 250 kids and we promised them that if they finished high school, these are all inner city kids, they finished high school, we'd give them a college education. It was in 10 different locations, or was it, let's see, it was 25 kids in 10 different locations all around the country, all inner city, and the Urban League helped us implement it. And this last night was the reunion of those kids that went through the program 30 years later. So they were first graders. They didn't even know what the hell was going on. They all dressed up and they got these certificates and shook hands with all these white people. And it's so funny to hear their stories of what they thought was going on, what really was going on. And
wow.
Now they're all, you know, a lot of them went to college, teachers, 90% graduated from high school versus 45% is what the inner city Harlem usually is. And they all went on to, you know, secondary education, a couple PhDs, and, you know, a fabulous story. But it's one of those stories like, congratulations, it worked. Hmm. Now what? You know, it's like centers of influence works. Mastermind groups work. Why didn't you do it again? I don't know. It worked. What, you got the cure for cancer. Why don't you, why didn't you tell somebody? Why did you, you know, and great, these, this was our private group. Got together and did a documentary out of our own funds about the success of this program. And you'll probably see it on Netflix or something. But the firm, like idiots, would never have done anything with it. Okay? So human nature is pretty consistent. So I think one of the things you gotta, you can do as a coach and as a dad and as a manager is just know that human nature is going to really be consistent. They're really not going to do the things that are obvious. And you think, well, it's obvious. It worked. Why wouldn't you do it 10 more times? You had enough money. And you knew it would work. If the Urban League, you know, all these Urban League people were fabulous. They're the ones that should have, I never really understood their written role in this thing until I figured it out. Until I heard the documentary. But so, you know, then their mission was then to pay it forward, have each one of these kids do something to help another kid go get out. And two or three, then you really got some leverage. But so if we have a 98% probability that when I give the idea of having a mastermind group and centers of influence and meet with them regularly, I got about 98% chance that nobody will do it because it works. So all you have to do to be extraordinarily successful in this business is just do what everybody else doesn't do.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
It's all, seriously, it's not any more complicated than that. It's not hard. You think that would be, it's really, to get an A is really, really hard. No, okay, it's not. Getting a B is really hard. Getting an A is just a little bit harder. Okay. So what we're going after is getting a B. We can get a B by doing the things. Now, practicing, role-playing, skill training, that will get you the A. And that will get you, Derek, that will get you $1 billion. Okay. And think about $1 billion making $10 million a year, what you could do giving away. You're going to net out, let's say, $5 million, right? And you can give away $1 million a year. Or put it into your foundation, have your foundation be worth $25 or $30 million. And that 30 million, 3 times 5 is 15. That's 1.5 million you could give away every year out of your foundation. You can change the world. And you're a good guy, so you would. Or you can live a normal life. And it's not any harder to live an extraordinary life than it is to live a normal life.
We just wrote down, think big. I'm afraid I don't think big enough.
Well, when I started, I wanted, in my office, I had like $1 million producer. I said, I want to have all $1 million producers in my office. That was my goal. And then I wanted to have five $5 million producers. And I wanted to have all that done in 5 years. Our average productivity was $1 million. And I had five $5 million producers. And I didn't do that in a long time. It was pretty quick. And it was because I was a madman. I was a crazy person. And they loved it because I taught them how to think big. I'd have a dinner with one of my guys, and he said, I cannot sleep after our dinners. I said, good. And I did my job. My work is done. Your job is to move the chemistry of the audience. Okay. So that's what you want to do with your guys, is you want to get them to think big and to paint a picture for them of something really extraordinary that they could do, something that would have meaning, like giving away $1.5 million a year and providing a change of life for a whole generation of kids. That's worth getting up in the morning for. Because those kids will pay you back 10, 50 times over. You know how excited they'd be to have you give them an opportunity to be superstars? Change your life. That's the fun of money. That's the fun of doing what you're doing. And I don't have a big boat. I've only got a 22-foot boat. I don't want a big boat. I got a 4-year-old car, and I don't lease them, I buy them. And I, you know, I don't need a lot of crap. And I live nice, but I don't need the big yacht and the airplane and the private jets and I don't need it. I don't like it. It's much more fun to see what you can do to help people that don't believe they have a chance. They've given up. And you know, watch a kindergarten kid, watch a first grader. They haven't given up. They think they can do everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things that we do is we do the dictionary program for third graders here in Muskogee County. And so there was a stint where I would go before the class of third graders, and I'd wear a cap and gown, present dictionaries, but talk about each one of them. We'd help them identify with what class they were going to be graduating in, and go through the big thing. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I got to present that several times, and then somebody else took over. after me. So it was fun. But yeah, they believe Little League baseball. I can tell you all the greatest story. I'll tell you the greatest story here. This will enrich your life. Okay.
Yep.
I coached Little League baseball for, I think it was 14 years, something like that. And I had this kid, Branch Sheffield. Okay. Which is, he was a little bit taller than the rest of the kids. And he was kind of gangly, goofy kid, you know, and just, this was like the first or second game of the season. I accidentally substituted him out and forgot to substitute him back in. And so after that, I got a call from his parents, and it's because the game was different. The guy I actually substituted with for him hit a home run, won the game for us. Okay. So, you know, but anyway, but the problem was this kid was not going to play anymore. He's like, baseball is not my sport. I'm going to quit. And the dad said, I think that he should just move on and do something else. And I said to his dad, I said, I don't know what it's going to be. Something's going to happen this year that is going to make a difference for the team. It's going to make a difference for this kid. He's like, okay, well, whatever. I'll leave him in there. He had friends that I knew. And so he said, well, he's probably an okay guy. I'll leave him in there because you can get on the wrong side with a coach and stay on that wrong side, you know? So you get about, we had two or three games left, and we were one of the best teams in the league at that point. We ended up going to the championship game, went all the way to the final game of the championship series. But so this was still the very end of regular season, and this kid got up to bat, Branch Sheffield, bases loaded. Okay, bases loaded. This kid is not a great hitter, but he's a big kid. And he got up to bat. I'm coaching third base, and first ball, they throw a strike or whatever. But for some reason, the coach on the other team called timeout. And so I had a chance to go over and talk to Branch for a second. And I stood there with him, and he's just such a funny kid. But I said, Branch, base is loaded. He said, yeah, coach, I see. I said, this is your chance. He said, chance for what? I said, you can hit a grand slam home run. And he goes, you think so, coach? I said, dude, you can hit a grand slam home run, but you're going to get excited now as you're thinking about it. He says, you got to take a deep breath. You just have to swing easy through the ball. Don't lunge for, just relax. And I said, and you can do it. He said, all right, coach, I can do it. And he got up there, and next ball was a ball. But the next pitch, right down the middle, he hit it. The only home run he's ever hit in his life. Grand slam home run, dead center field. And he came running around second base, pointing at me, going. And then, of course, he did all the social media stuff. He posted something about it and for this. And, hey, Matthew, my son, show your dad this or whatever. But his parents were up on by the concession stand. And they had no idea what was going on. But when they saw me pull him aside, so they were the first ones on the scene. What did you guys talk about? What was it? I said, well, I told him to hit a grand slam home run, and he did. But that's the whole power of belief. You know, kid never hit another home run ever. That was it. His one career home run was a grand slam.
Never forgot it, though.
Never forgot it. Greatest single, probably baseball moment with these kids, you know.
Wonderful.
A lot of them, so.
It's terrific. You never
forget. That was just building off of what you said, Rob, about their power of belief. Little kids, they believe anything, you know.
Well, they do.
Everything's possible.
Well, we do too. We want to believe. We just don't know it's possible. I've seen my team that I started and I hired here up there in Indianapolis just passed $1 billion.
Wow. Damn.
And it was a little kid, little young guy that I hired, smart, but didn't know anything. And the gal that he was partnering with was my bond trader in the institutional department, who was sweet and nice, but didn't know anything about equities. So he got his CIMA, she got her CFP. Their senior partner retired. He died of cancer. Sad story. And they're not extraordinary by any means. And they've got $1 billion. Now they're wonderful at service. And I put the best sales assistant I could find with them. And she has been a goldmine for them. But they're smart now. They're competent. They're trustworthy. And they do what they say they're going to do. And I can refer business to them knowing exactly what they're going to get. 1242, financial plan, rapid response to problem. They're going to do an extraordinary job for the clients. But marketing-wise, very average.
Yeah, wow, wow.
So when you say, well, that seems amazing. No, it's not even hard.
I can hear that. Well, I like that one into you every week.
You just have to do it. You have to be consistent. Yeah. You just say, okay, if I can bring this together. So try that mastermind group. You've got friends. See, you're one of the guys that you've got friends. You got your church group. You got your buddies. You got your, you know, you've got all these people already. You just need to pull them together and slap their face and say, let's be a marketing team. Let's stop. You know, we're losing business because people are picking up these businesses are being sold and we're not getting every one of them. We want to get every single one of them. Why would anybody sell their business in this community and not come to us?
No, well, our first meeting is next week on the 2nd. That's my first group, I guess. First formal group.
Okay, so fire them up.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'm fired up. Thank you.
Go get them. Hit a grand slam.
The power of belief, Derek.
Right. Hit a grand slam.
That's right. All right, guys. Y'all have a great week.
Bye.
Appreciate y'all. Happy Thanksgiving, too.
Happy Thanksgiving. Take care, guys. All right.